First reading this morning is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. And the second reading this morning is from John chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 35, and then we jump to verse 41. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling amongst yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. This is the word of God.
We on? Hello? We good? Lord God, help us to be attentive to your word. Let us hear your voice speak to us through your Holy Spirit, that we too might crave your living bread. Amen. So good morning. My name is Claire. For those of you who do not know me, as Chris said earlier, I'm studying at Ridley Hall to train to be a vicar. So I'm training to be a priest. I've finished my first year of training and I'm about to start my second and final year. So this time next year, all being well, I should be ordained and a curate somewhere. And it is my pleasure to speak with you this morning. I have been on placement or on attachment with St Mary's and also Christ Church North Ely for the last 2 years. And I'm pleased to say that I will be with you again next year as well. So that's good. And that's a little bit about who I am. But today we're going to look about what Jesus says or who Jesus says he is in John's Gospel. So in John's Gospel, there are seven I am sayings by Jesus. Seven times Jesus says, I am, and then goes on to give something that he is in order to help explain something about his personality and his character. So today we're going to look at I am the bread of life. And that is found in John 6, which we had read for us this morning. But further on in John's Gospel, we have, I am the light of the world, Jesus says in chapter 8. I am the door and I am the good shepherd in chapter 10. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life in chapter 11. I am the way, the truth and the life in chapter 14. And the final I am saying, I am the true vine in chapter 15. But today we're going to just focus on the first one, I am the bread of life. So as we get started, I wonder if you can think of the things that you need in order to sustain you. What are the things that you need in your life that help to keep your inner equilibrium, keep you positive? What are the things that help to nurture you and nourish you and give you life? And for all of us, some things will be the same and some things will be different. So as I just said, I'm studying at Ridley Hall, and for the last 6 or 7 weeks, I've been on my long summer holiday, and I've had the privilege of staying with various different people over the last 6 or 7 weeks, and hopefully will continue to do so. But currently, I'm staying at a very good friend's house in the village where I used to live before I moved into Ridley to study. And I'm staying there because I'm looking after her two dogs. So her and her husband have gone away on holiday, camping to the south of France in the glorious rain, while I get the privilege of staying in their lovely house and looking after their two dogs. And it's quite strange for me, all of a sudden, having to be in that role of looking after someone or something, having to look after the dogs, be thoughtful of their every need, making sure that they have food and water, that they're walked regularly. And that, for me, is not something that has happened very recently. I haven't had dependents I've had to look after. But I wonder if you currently have pets maybe that you look after, or maybe you look after children or parents or a relative of some kind. Perhaps you have dependents that look to you for their sustenance, look to you to sustain them. I think most people at some stage in our life do have that responsibility to look after something or someone. Even when I taught at school, every February we used to plant bulbs in preparation for Mother's Day, and it was up to the students in my class to remember to water them and to nurture them and to look after them until the designated weekend came round, where thankfully they could go home, hopefully with green leaves and every now and then with buds as well. But it was really important that the children took a role in that looking after and that nurturing and that sustaining. So thinking today a little bit about what sustains us, what sustains the dogs that I'm currently looking after? What sustains the dogs? Well, as I've said, they need to be fed twice a day, they need to have fresh water put down, they need to be taken out for walks, and that's probably enough to keep them alive, but that isn't enough to nourish them and sustain them, to keep them going, to make them healthy and happy. They also require quite a lot of TLC. They like to sit on you, they like to be stroked, they definitely like to be groomed, they like to follow you wherever you go. They don't like to be on their own, so today is not a good day for them. But yes, we all have different things that sustain us, nourish us, and keep us going. Sitting on the sofa is no longer a lone activity. I often have one, but probably both of them sat either side of me or on top of each other to try and get close. There's something that they need, isn't it? That physical contact that they need. They want to be with us. I could let them out the door on their own and take themselves for a walk. They'd probably be quite good at that, and they'd probably quite like the idea of going on their own. They'd be into everyone else's garden, and the little one at least would be through every cat flap he could find to see if there was any spare food. But it wouldn't take long before they got themselves into all sorts of mischief and probably danger as well. They need someone to walk alongside them to take care of them and to be there with them. So what sustains us? What nurtures us? What keeps us alive but also happy and positive? Well, the basics are there too, aren't they? We need food and drink. But something else sustains us as well. If we look back at the start of chapter 6 in John's Gospel, so the bit before we heard read this morning, we have the story of the feeding of the 5,000. This is the story that Jesus feeds 5,000 men as well as women and children from the very real and very minimal 5 loaves and 2 fish. The 5 loaves and 2 fish are produced by a boy, probably about enough for a boy's packed lunch. But from this, Jesus prays over the bread, breaks the bread, and is able to distribute it to the 5,000 plus people who are gathered and still have plenty left over. This division and multiplication of the bread amazed and stunned the crowd. How could a man do such things? They wanted to see more. They wanted to know more. They wanted to have more of the bread. This desire to see more and get more seemed also to come along with it a resistance to understand who Jesus actually was. And like many people today, and perhaps you can think of someone you know, they were clearly searching and in pursuit of something more in their life. Often people today are looking for something to fill a spiritual void, the spiritual void that only Jesus is able to fill. But like the crowd, although they may recognize that Jesus is a good man, a clever teacher, someone with good ideas, someone who upholds the poor and the weak, someone who they would acknowledge lived and was real, but when it comes to grasping his divinity, his otherness, it all falls down. And so, like the crowds, they miss the point. They miss the one thing that Jesus is trying to tell them. For all the other things that we might fill our lives, all the things that we think sustain us, the only real thing that is ever truly going to sustain us, both in this life and in the life to come, is him, is Jesus, is the bread of life. So if we look at today's passage, which we had read for us, we can see that the Jewish people, the crowds, were uncertain about what it was that sustained them. They definitely were not happy about Jesus' claim that he might have something to do with what would sustain them. It wasn't only the signs and miracles that Jesus had been performing that they had been following him to see. In verse 26, Jesus tells the crowd, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." In fact, the crowd was quite dissatisfied by a lot of the things that Jesus had to say. They didn't like the fact that Jesus had some connection with the divine. They couldn't quite see past the fact that they knew who Jesus' parents were. Here was this man, this very human, physically human, relationally human, very grounded in family, in person and in place. This person was making claims that he had a connection with God, that he was, in fact, divine in some way. This very real man who they knew, very possibly had been following for some time, was able in some way to offer them the salvation that they needed. They were unimpressed, to say the least. They were scandalized. They wanted to condemn Jesus. They wanted to contradict him to stop this young man making such claims about himself. So what was Jesus claiming when he said he was the bread of life? Why were the crowds so scandalized by this claim? Jesus himself takes it back to the time of Moses and the Israelites' release from Egypt and their subsequent walk, 40-year walk through the desert to the promised land. During that time, the Israelites complained both to Moses and to God. And God's answer to this was to send them manna from heaven. Manna being bread that arrived every morning, which the Israelites went out to gather, but which was very temporary in nature. The manna lasted only a day, and by the next day, any that had been left over had gone moldy and was inedible. In fact, it was only a very temporary solution. Jesus talks to the crowd of this bread, this manna, and he acknowledges that this bread did not last. Jesus' claim about himself is in direct contrast to this manna. He is saying that the bread that he provides is not temporary, neither is it just to fill hungry stomachs. This bread, this is the bread come down from heaven. He puts himself above Moses. He's claiming that he's more than this great man that the Jews revered. He's claiming that he himself is God, that he is the bread that sustains both today, but it also has an eternal element to it. Not just for today, but forever. The crowd couldn't see past this very real bread of today, or indeed the very real humanity of Jesus. So why did Jesus choose bread as a symbol? Why say that he is the bread of life? Surely something else, something more extravagant, would be better in keeping with the prestige of someone who was the Son of God. Why choose something so basic and so base? There's nothing elite or special about bread. In fact, quite the opposite. Bread is something that is accessible to all, from the poorest to the richest. It remains a staple food today. Perhaps you can bring to mind the image you might have seen on television, maybe, of someone who's been released from captivity, of huge amounts of deprivation and starvation, holding on to a hunk of bread. Skeletal people who have been given bread in its most basic form, given something that is life-giving, sustaining, and a foundation for something to follow. And I think that's something of what Jesus is trying to convey by announcing that he is the bread of life. Through him, we are given the possibility of life, both in this world and in the next. He sustains us and he comes into relationship with us. It is the real foundation, the key for a start in our new life with him. Bread is very real. It's tangible. It's mundane, essential, bland, life-giving, and life-preserving. That blandness and simplicity being essential for life. Our faith and trust in the living God may be at times bland and simple, but it is an essential building block for our faith. From here, we're able to move on to develop a more sophisticated and individual relationship with him. But the building blocks are always the same, and in times of struggle and in times of doubt, it is those blocks that will uphold us and help us to realign ourselves to God. So, what sustains us today? How does this bread of life come down from heaven, the claim that Jesus makes, the claim that the crowds are unable to accept, the divine nature of Jesus, which became the stumbling block to them and often continues to be a stumbling block for future generations? How can this claim to be the bread of life offer to us the salvation and reconciliation with God that Jesus intends? Jesus talks about his body being broken for us, and in the Last Supper, just before he died, he broke bread and gave it to his disciples, just in the same way that Chris will do for us in a moment at communion. Doing this, Jesus declares that his body is the bread of life, which is broken for all. In verse 51 of chapter 6, he says, "This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." So in a little while, we will join together for communion. We'll be breaking bread. This fellowship meal together, this Eucharist or Thanksgiving meal, is celebrated by Christians in recognition of the act of Christ, his death and resurrection, offering salvation to all. He is providing the sustenance that we all need. This gift of Christ is for all people. No one is beyond the redemptive power of Christ's sacrificial act, made once and for all. This is in part why we meet regularly as a family of God, to break bread together, to stand alongside one another as we receive bread and wine. We acknowledge that in our own power we can do nothing, that through Christ, through his death and resurrection, we have life. The communion meal over centuries could have become lavish and extravagant. Sometimes when you walk around different countries, you see the lavish church buildings, huge ornate decoration in different denominations. But the meal of bread and wine stays the same. There's no need for pomp or embellishment. The simplicity of bread and wine outpoured, the power behind these simple acts, which around the globe, both in secret and in vast auditoriums where individuals were walked forwards to receive a small piece of bread and a sip of wine. This is spiritual sustenance, the symbolism of the act of sacrifice and reconciliation. This is a practice that we do repeatedly, not solely to stop us forgetting, or because God might somehow forget, or be not true to his word. It's something that Christians do regularly because when we worship, we do so with our whole beings. We come to God continually in a state of sinfulness, with a desire to be made right with him. Just as when we eat bread, we do not do so only once and expect to remain filled, but with the knowledge that we need to keep coming back for more. In John 4, Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well and offers her living water so that she may never thirst again. And here in John 6, he promises the crowds that he can give them bread from heaven so that they will never go hungry. But in this world, we will continue to hunger and thirst, both physically and spiritually. So, thinking back to the dogs that I'm currently looking after, they are always eager, always ready, always hopeful. Every step towards the kitchen might result in some kind of edible reward. Are we like that with God? Are we straining and looking and listening for his word to us? Are we open to receive the bread of life that he has promised and which he gives freely to us all? Let us pray. Lord God, help me to be straining with all my being to be at that right relationship with you. Help us to be ever looking forwards towards your light and your promises to us. Thank you, God, that you nourish us and lead us ever deeper into a relationship with you. Help us to come to you daily to be fed and to grow in your love for us. Amen.